Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do crown you with many crowns. Lord, we look forward to that time when we will be forever in an unending worship service where we are able to bow down and worship you without ceasing. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we'd ask that you would use it this morning to instruct us in how it is that we are to live. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 22. I'll read the passage and we'll jump right in. 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adaiah. She was from Zokkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right to the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Have them entrusted to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple. And have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also have them purchase timber and dressed stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are acting faithfully." Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord, and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple." Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, "Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah, the priest, Achaim, son of Shaphan, Achbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan, the secretary, and Azariah, the king's attendant, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us." Hilkiah the priest, Achaim, Achbor, Shaphan, and Azariah went to speak to the prophetess Huldah, who was the wife of Shalom, son of Tikva, the son of Haras, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem, in the second district. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place." So they took her answer back to the king. This is God's word. So this morning we're talking about the book of the law found. Have you ever been in a situation where your mother told you to stop doing something, but you kept on doing it? Then she told you to stop doing it again, but her voice changed, and you didn't notice the change, and you wish you had noticed it. It's good to know when it's time to change. It's good to know when your boss means it, when he says, "If you're late one more time, you're gone." It's good to know when somebody means it, when he or she says, "The next time you do such and such." Now, you may have been doing it for a long time, but as far as this person is concerned, it's time for you to change. It's good for you to know the person means business. Every hurricane season, there is always someone who does not believe the storm is going to be big enough for them to leave their home, regardless of how many times they are asked to evacuate. They will say in a minute, "I've always stayed right here at home, even when others left." And yet, every year on the news, we always see someone who suffers the consequences because he or she didn't know when to change by leaving what they thought was a safe spot. Have you ever been in a situation in your own life where you didn't make a change when you should have, and it cost you dearly? Sometimes people may have even come up to you and suggested that you change, take a different course of action, let that person go, move out of the house, go back to school, but for one reason or another, you decided not to make the change. The only problem is you know now that you have missed out on an opportunity that could have really made a difference in your life. It's good to know when it's time to change. Sometimes you may be in an argument with another person, and you're convinced that you've got all the evidence on your side. The only thing is your evidence is based on your point of view and what you think another person's motive is in the situation. If you're wrong about their true motive, your evidence is worthless. It's good to know when it's time to change your position in a disagreement with someone else. It's amazing how if we ask God to truly allow us to see something from the other person's perspective, we discover we're not as right as we thought we were. Not knowing when to change can cause a lot of pain and heartache that could have been avoided. The good news is that Jesus Christ can still help you make the changes you need to get back charge of your life. Sometimes we need to make a change and we don't know it. We can be deceived by all the good things that are going on around us and think that all is going to last forever. But in reality, the world around us is changing, circumstances are changing, and we ourselves are changing. Change is an inevitable part of life. We have to make choices every day, and the choices we make today are going to affect us for a very long time to come. So that brings us this morning to Josiah. Josiah's dad was anything but a good role model. His father had completely rejected the ways of God. Josiah's father became king at age 22 and did just about everything that he could to alienate God by worshiping idols and offering sacrifices to them. His father reigned as king for only 2 years because his own government officials decided enough was enough, and they assassinated him in the palace. The people rose up and put to death all the officials who had assassinated the king, and they made Josiah king in his father's place. At age 8, Josiah became the second youngest king ever over the nation of Judah. And you might ask, what difference could an 8-year-old make in the life of a nation? Let me tell you a little bit of what was going on at the time that he became king. First of all, the nation was at peace with its neighbors, so times were pretty good. The economy seemed to be doing all right. The people were very relaxed in their relationship to God because there was no pressing emergency. Many of the people had slipped from God altogether. Throughout the country, people were creating their own gods and offering sacrifices to them. Parents were offering their children as sacrifices to the demonic devil Molech. Anybody who wanted to become a priest could become a priest. In the rooms of the temple of God, there was a room set aside for horses that had been dedicated to the sun, and the sun and moon were worshipped as though they were gods. There were altars built to foreign gods in the courtyard of the temple. There were rooms set aside in the temple for male prostitution. All in all, it was a spiritual and moral disaster. The people were doing basically anything they wanted in the name of religion and thought nothing of it. There is something inside of us that seeks to want to worship, but not to do it according to the word of God. Therefore, we end up worshiping athletes, singers, actors, and entertainers. And Josiah inherited this as an 8-year-old king. Which brings us to our passage. Verses 1 through 7 talk about his ascension to the kingship and his early reforms. What a way to start your reign. Your father has been murdered. People think you're too young for the job. Your nation is a moral disaster. And you don't have a clue as to what you're doing and what you're getting yourself into. He didn't inherit an ideal situation. What should you do when you don't know what to do? Well, we learn that in the 8th year of his reign, that means at only age 16, he began to seek the God of his father. Only 8 years old when he came to the throne, he probably owed much of his spiritual concern to his mother, Jedidah, and probably to the guidance of pious men in prominent positions. He quickly demonstrated himself to be one who followed his forefather David in godliness, walking circumspectly before God and men. The word seek means to worship frequently and search out. If you're going to seek the Lord concerning a change in your life, it means you're going to have to worship God more often and put yourself wholeheartedly into it, because the word also means to follow. Seeking God involves following in the footsteps of Christ. If you're not willing to follow God as Jesus did, then it does not make sense to seek after him. In verses 3 through 7, we see the author of Kings quickly moves to the most outstanding example of Josiah's godly fidelity, his repair of the temple in his 18th year. According to 2 Chronicles, which I will read a passage from 2 Chronicles, which also gives a description of Josiah's reign. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, it gives us an example of exactly some of how Josiah was choosing to clean things up. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, carved idols, and cast images. Under his direction, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them and smashed the Asherah poles, the idols, and the images. These he broke to pieces and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and so he purged Judah and Jerusalem, and the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and in the ruins around them. He tore down the altars and the Asherah poles and crushed the idols to powder and cut them to pieces, all the incense altars throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. So we see that his actions here in his 18th year were quite in keeping with his true spiritual character. At the age of 16, Josiah recognized that he needed a change in his own life. The funny thing is, on the outside, he pretty much had everything that he could want. What curfew do you give a king? What allowance do you give a king? What girl is not willing to date the king? He could have left these things comfortably as they were, but Josiah knew something was missing from his life, and he wanted to know why. He just knew it was time for a change. After 4 years of seeking the Lord, by the time he was 20, he was ready to step into the role God had called him to be. You see, sometimes we spend 30 minutes seeking the Lord and think God is telling us to start moving. Josiah spent 4 years allowing the Lord to work in his life before he took drastic action for leading the nation. Now, I'm not saying that you need 4 years of seeking God. I'm saying God's plan for you may require a little more preparation before you jump up and act on it. A lot of times it's easier to see what changes you want made in someone else or somewhere else than it is to see the changes God wants first to make in you. At age 20, Josiah began to make changes in his nation. He wanted to get rid of the false gods, the demonic activity, the corrupt priests, and the slaughter of children. He launched his campaign and he did it. He destroyed a lot of religious places. It took him about 6 years to get it done. At age 26, he decided it was time to get to make things right close at home. How many of you know this was not going to be an easy decision to make? It's one thing to make changes that affect those people out in the surrounding areas, but it's something altogether different when the changes affect the people you have to deal with on a regular basis. Now he was going to have to deal with the cleansing of the temple and getting rid of things that people considered sacred and holy. No doubt there were those who felt the reforms had already gone too far, but Josiah moved ahead anyway because he was committed to doing his best to do God's will. He evicted the male prostitutes. He burned the chariots dedicated to the sun god. He got rid of the astrologers. He made up his mind that he was going to restore the temple back to what God had originally intended it to be, a place of worship and a place where God's name would be identified. At age 26, he wanted the people to make a sacrifice for the Lord. He told the people, it's time for change. Look, we're going to rebuild the Lord's temple. Those of you who want to contribute, bring in your money and leave it at the temple or give it to the Levites who are going throughout the land. Well, they collected all the money and the work of the temple began. So at this time, Josiah sent his secretary, Shaphan, to Hilkiah the high priest with a royal command to utilize that freewill offering of the people for the appropriation of supplies and the paying of the laborers so as to begin the repair of the temple. And that brings us to verses 8 through 13, where we read about the book of the law. A funny thing happened when they were rebuilding and reconstructing the temple. A fellow by the name of Hilkiah found the book of the law. In other words, he found God's word in the temple. But he was shocked at finding it. Here was this huge temple with everything under the sun going on, but there was no readily available copy of God's word. This reminds me of the passage we talked about in 1 Samuel when it indicated that Samuel, as a young boy serving underneath the high priest Eli, did not yet know the Lord, and where it said that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. So here we have the temple of the Lord, and finding God's word was unique, and it was unforeseen, and it was unanticipated. So now we see that Josiah's father and grandfathers had so departed from God that they had gotten rid of God's word from the temple. Now we understand why Josiah had to so diligently seek the Lord. They didn't have any copies of God's word. This was a big find. The law would tell them exactly where they stood with God. Hilkiah brought the book of the law to Shaphan and told him to take it to the king. Shaphan took it to the king, and after reading the law for just a few pages, the king recognized immediately that it was time for change. The royal commission had stayed long enough that Shaphan was able to bring the word back to the king. And it says that we don't know exactly which passage it is that was contained in this scroll. Some scholars believe that it was all of the Torah. Others believe that it was perhaps a section just from Deuteronomy. But let me give you an example of some of what might have been read. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, we read, when all these blessings and curses I have set before you come upon you and take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord and your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. Then the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I am giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands, and the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your fathers, if you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So Hilkiah gave the book of the law to Shaphan and told him to take it to the king. Shaphan took it to the king, and after reading the law for just a few pages, the king immediately recognized that it was time for change. Here is how we know whether or not we've been seeking the Lord. If we are truly seeking God, when a portion of God's word confronts our behavior, we subject our behavior to the word of God and bring about change. We never have to seek God's direction for a choice about sin. We always get into trouble when we desire to change God's word, when we try to make it acceptable to our behavior or our actions. When Josiah got his hands on a real copy of the Word of God, he was excited. He told Shaphan, "Start reading, and let's hear what it says." But the more Shaphan read, the more uneasy the king became. He realized that they were living under a false sense of security as a nation. Just because everything was looking good didn't mean it was good. When he heard the word proclaimed and saw that they were living in defiance and disobedience to the will of God, King Josiah immediately tore his robes. The idea of tearing your robes was an indication that you were in great grief. For instance, if you found out that someone you loved had just been murdered, you would tear open your clothing to show your grief. So the king's reaction at the reading of the law was one of immediate contrition, as expressed in this sign of lamentation and grief, the tearing of the robes. The basis of his grief was twofold. First, Judah's guilt and her judgment. The nation had sinned grievously in breaking God's covenant in both its idolatry and its social injustices. Therefore, in accordance with the terms of that violated covenant, judgment must come. With repentant and sorrowful heart, Josiah sent a commission made up of trusted officials and the high priest Hilkiah to the prophetess Huldah, who lived in the second district of Jerusalem, to inquire as to the Lord's present intention regarding Judah. Sometimes we may be in comfort and at ease in our lives as Christians because we are not comparing our lives to what the Word of God teaches. We can just accept sinful attitudes, sinful actions, and sinful behaviors as just part of us and our ways, and that we forget that God didn't call us to do a halfway work in us. We fall prey to the notion that as long as I have Jesus, I've got it made. If we listen to the word in the way that Josiah listened, we'd recognize that it's time for a change. Josiah was fearful of two things. He was fearful that his behavior and his people's behavior had offended God. Do you ever think about your behavior as being offensive to God? God hates gossip, in and outside of the church. How do you feel when someone offends you and pretends like it never happened? God gets that feeling a lot from us. We should be striving in our life for God. So we should be afraid of offending God. So often we settle for a cheap religion that simply says in our prayers, "God, forgive me for any sins I may have committed," without actually allowing the Lord sufficient time to show us which specific sins we may have committed and need to repent of immediately. Let our prayers be specific enough to say, "God, show me where I was wrong in my attitudes and my actions and need to make a change." Josiah wanted God to be specific in showing him their sins. The other thing Josiah was fearful of was the punishment that God would send their way for their deliberate disobedience. We speak so much of the love of God that sometimes we forget the justice of God. Josiah was afraid that God's judgment was going to be poured out just as God promised he would do so for their disobedience. We like to think as long as we ask for forgiveness that there will not be a penalty. This goes into stark contrast to the Bible's teaching of reaping what we sow. If we sow bad attitudes, they will come back to us. If we sow love, it comes back. If we sow disrespect, it comes back. If we sow respect, it also comes back to us. What we plant in the ground comes back to us. It may be later than we think in terms of its growth, but it does come. And that brings us to verses 14 through 20, which is the advice of Huldah. King Josiah wanted the best prophet available to explain God's word to him. He told his cabinet officials, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me, because we are in a lot of trouble for all the wrong our fathers have done with their disobedience to the word of God. God's anger is poured out on us over this matter. I want you to notice that the men, the king's cabinet, and the priest knew that if you wanted to get a word from the Lord, you two were to go to a woman by the name of Huldah, the wife of Shallum. People still debate over whether or not God uses women in ministry, but we see in today's passage that God always uses whomever he chooses. And so we see that Huldah faithfully rendered the Lord's message for the people and Judah. Because Judah had persisted in its idolatry and wickedness, the sentence of judgment recorded in God's word, which the king had just heard, would surely come to pass. As for the king himself, because he had responded to God's word and humbled himself, and because he had grieved over Judah's sinful conditions, he would be spared the anguish of seeing God's devastating judgment carried out. The point here is that Josiah would die at peace with God because his awful sentence before his awful sentence would descend on his people. Huldah told the king, God says, look, I'm going to bring such disaster on this place that it will be incredible. The people got rid of me as their God, and they lived in defiance of my word. But what I told them would happen is going to happen. However, because you humbled yourself and tore your robe and wept in my presence, I will not do it in your lifetime. I want us to recognize that we have the ability to hold off disasters for others by choosing to live right before God. This is one of the many reasons that it's good to know when it's time to change. The only thing that kept the enemies from afar from pouring into Jerusalem was the righteousness of King Josiah. You need to be faithful to God because you do not know how many other people you are holding up and making it possible for them to be saved. Now, I don't want to completely give away the reforms that Josiah enacts, because that could take the place of another sermon. But if you read ahead into chapter 23, you'll see that Josiah doesn't just sit back and rest when God tells him, you're straight out and don't need to worry. I've given you a hookup to take care of you. No, Josiah said, listen, everybody, it's time for change. We read in chapter 23 that Josiah had everyone come together, and he read from the word of God. And he said, I now pledge to follow the Lord and keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all his heart and with all his soul, to obey the words of the covenant written in his book. And after he did it, he asked the people to take that same pledge. Then they got rid of every idol and detestable thing in their nation in order to serve their God. They got rid of the mediums, the fortune tellers, and the household gods that they were holding on to. And as long as Josiah lived, they did not fail to follow the Lord. Thank God that even when things had been going well, Josiah recognized that it was time for a change. Otherwise, they would not have gotten to this point of true, genuine repentance. There are still some marriages that can be saved. There are still some youth that can be put to the right path. Still some lonely people that we can encourage. Still some people who are addicted, who are crying out to be set free. Still people who need Jesus, who want to be saved. Still some family members who can be changed. Still some hungry people we can feed. Still some sick people we can heal. Some people in prison that we can comfort. There is still some difference that we can make. You can help make it happen. Have you turned to the Lord with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength? If not, it's good to know when it's time to change. You'll get the most out of your change if you do it immediately in response to God's word. King Josiah began a project to restore the rundown, cluttered temple that had been deserted during Manasseh's evil reign. During renovation, Hilkiah the high priest found a copy of the book of the Law of Moses. He carried those scrolls to Shaphan the scribe, who read the scrolls, reported the find to the king, and read them to him. The result of finding the word of God was a mighty revival in Judah. What place and priority does the Bible have in your life? Is it a manual for living? Or is it stuffed with keepsakes and gathering dust somewhere in your home? The loss of God's word was both the result and the cause of leading his people away from him. The rediscovery of God's word brought a mighty turning to God. So this morning I would encourage you, to go and find the book of the law. God's people not only found the book, but they read it and they rejoiced to hear its words. When they heard what it said, they repented of their sins and turned back to God. We need to heed the recommendation that says, when all else fails, read the instructions. As I think about everything that's going on in our world, everything that's happening in our nation, in our society, I think it would be fair to say, without making a political statement, that all else has failed. Therefore, it's time that we read the Bible. A dusty Bible is a dead Bible. Pick it up and read it. It will change your life. When Shaphan the scribe read the scripture to King Josiah, he realized the calamity that had come upon God's people was rooted in ignorant disobedience. God's people were disobedient because they didn't know the truth. Once they knew the truth, they began to act differently. Find the book, read the book, and most of all, obey the book. God requires obedience from his children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have it available to us. We have multiple translations. We have children's Bibles. We have presentation Bibles. We have study Bibles. We have concordances. We have websites that can help us to study your word. But Lord, the key, as shown from today's passage, is that we need to open the word, and we need to read the word, and we need to respond to the word. Lord, we ask forgiveness for those ways in which we have disobeyed your word. We'd ask that you would reveal to us where our stubbornness and where our pride has allowed us to justify our actions and to disregard what your word says. Help us, Lord, to not just carry the word around, but help us to crack the spine, to get into it, to read it, and Lord, that it would transform our lives. Help us to know the word so well that it guides not just our faith, but also our practice. Help us to take the commands of Scripture to heart and to put them into practice in our daily lives. Not only that we would stave off punishment, but Lord, also that you would use us as an instrument to bless others, that we would bring the word of hope that comes from relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.